Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. Well, if we can't see you, either you're home sleeping. When we got up too late, I told Jelaine, I said, oh, came out the bathroom and stuff. I said, oh, it was early. You know, you just kind of, oh, I said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's not God that changed the time. It says that God, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's man. Every time man does something, messes things up. And why they do it on a Sunday morning anyway? I mean, I understand probably why. The people need to be in church. Mess up Monday morning. Mess up Monday morning. Let everybody be late for work. Not late for church. Or Saturday morning. Yeah, whatever, you know. But it's the first day of the week, whatever. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Last week we picked up $1,855.88. So thank you for your obedience in giving to the church. We certainly do appreciate it and all that you have given here. I just wanted to read. You might say, well, Pastor, what do you do with the tithe and offerings? Well, you know, we pay for everything that needs to be paid for. But before we even do that, and I know by now I've told you this basically before, but I like to tell the people, when you give here your tithe and offerings, the first thing we do, and you can ask Miss Gail because she's over that, and I've given her instructions on what to do, but she takes 10% of what you give and we send it as an offering or our tithe of our church to Sun Life Broadcasting Network. And I want to just show you, every week we have a part in people getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, people getting delivered of all kinds of things because the gospel is being preached throughout the world. Right now, Sun Life Broadcasting is in 30 states right now. They're preaching the gospel, and this is 24 hours a day in the United Kingdom. That's your money going there for people's souls. In Australia, in New Zealand, in Southern Africa, in Israel, praise God, the Middle East, the Northern Africa, Europe, Russia, Eastern Europe, Central and South America, Germany, Barbados, and the United Kingdom again. So I want you to know that what you're giving here is reaching the world for the kingdom of God. Can you imagine that God has taken us? I know, you know, 30, 40 people, whatever, you know, on a Sunday, 30 so people, that we are helping to preach the gospel around the world. And you know, and I often tell people, you know, God says to tithe, to be obedient. And when you tithe here, God, or give, God blesses you. But also He blesses you twice. Twice. Because He, in obedience and giving here, He blesses you. Then we take all our money pooled together and send 10% to another missions church, if you want to say it that way, or ministry, and we get blessed again. That's the kind of God we serve. He not only blesses His church once, but He blesses it twice. And many more times. So, you know, thank you for your giving. Thank you for being obedient in your tithe and offerings to the church. And we certainly do appreciate it. And, you know, we thank you. And, you know, we count it a privilege that you trust us, Jelaine and I, with your hard working and making money. We thank you for trusting us. And we will do everything we can to honor that and being really open and putting it where it needs to go in reaching people for the kingdom of God. You know, the gospel says, and you can read it in our bulletin, you know, it says the word came forth the first Sunday of this year that this was a year of harvest for our church. And I said, "Ooh, thank you, Lord." And so, and we're seeing that happen, that the harvest is coming in. God is helping us to teach the gospel all over the place and helping us to reach people with the gospel like never before. A year of harvest, as it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the world. That brings freedom. That brings freedom. But thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. And I certainly, and I wanted to read that because I wanted you to know that you have a part in what you give here, reaching the world for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Say, this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today.
As this word
brings life
to my spirit.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I tell you, worship was so good. Gosh, the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, it astounds me. It really does. It astounds me. It makes me almost speechless. But it astounds me on what God can do and how He brings freedom to our lives and to our spirit. Amen. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus turns to His disciples and tells them many things. And you can see in Scripture, He even asks them questions about certain things. But I want to read something in Matthew, then we're going to turn to Luke and read basically the same thing. But in Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 21, Matthew 16, 21, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him." Now let me stop there. Did Peter fall off somewhere? Did Peter lose his mind in trying to rebuke? Now, I understand what he was trying to do because, you know, Jesus was telling his disciples all the things that would come about. And Peter didn't like that his king, the one they thought would rule upon the earth from that day forward, would die. And he said, no, 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 no. But Peter didn't realize that he was thinking like man and not like God. Because in Jesus dying, He's given us life to all of us. And so Peter rebuked Jesus. Now, can you imagine? I've never, and I will never do that. Walk on shaky ground here. I mean, you know, it's like saying, "God, get to the woodshed," you know, and I have the bat. Come on, you know, that just does not make sense. But Peter rebuked Him, saying, "Be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be unto you." He was trying to defend Him. But you have to understand now, Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus came to die. You know, He came to die. So in Peter rebuking Jesus, Peter was taking the side of the enemy, the devil, man. In verse 23, and He says, "But He turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan." Now look, God has, thank you, Lord, that I know of, has never told me that. Get thee behind me, Satan. Has He ever told you that? Get thee behind me, Satan. Because you see, it wasn't, God was speaking to the spirit that was saying it, and not so much the person. God always loves and cares about the person. And he was speaking to the spirit that was trying to stop what God needed to accomplish here upon the earth for us, to bring freedom to our lives so that we wouldn't have to live in shackles and sin and have to die a sinful death. But it says this in the next verse. It says, verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense unto me. For you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Very important scripture. Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 9. Basically says the same thing, but a few little differences, I guess, if you want to say it that way. Luke chapter 9. Look at verse 18. And it says, and it came to pass, as he was alone praying, talking about Jesus, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. But he got kind of pointed, and he said, I want to find out what you say I am. And he says, and he said unto him, but whom say you that I am? And Peter answered and said, Christ, the Christ of God, which means anointed, which means Messiah. Peter turned and says, Lord, you are Christ. And really God says, you're right. The anointed one, the Messiah. Verse 21. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And in Matthew, he rebukes him, Peter. And in Luke, it doesn't say that. But in verse 23, it says this, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow him. Now, verse 23 is really what I want to get at, where it says that, and he said unto them all, he said unto all the disciples that were there, he said unto all of them, he said, look, if any man will come after me. Now, God is saying that we have to go after him. Go after him. It doesn't say that we will automatically go after him. But it says, if any man will come after me, if we need to be a pursuing people, we need to be a pursuing church, we need to be a pursuing body of Christ here that pushes to know him. If any man will come after me. You know what Jesus was saying? Come. He's saying, come. How many of us, as we have pursued him in areas of our lives since we've been born again, has ever God rejected us? Never. Now, maybe he didn't answer a prayer the way we wanted him to answer it, just like Peter. Maybe we felt left down or left out by maybe what God didn't do. But you see, God, when we gave him our lives, we surrendered every part of our being. We're saying, Lord, your will be done. That means what we conceive in our minds by our own intellect. And if it doesn't line up with what God wants to do, God has the final authority. Not us. That we have no right to be angry with him. Now that doesn't mean we may not be at certain times. You fall at his feet and you say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. But it says, if any man will come after me, if any man will come after me, if any man will come after me, that's, he's saying, come, pursue me, look to me, let me help you, come, come. And when we go a little bit towards him, he comes to us. He comes to us and will help us in every avenue of our lives, every avenue of our hearts, every part of our being, because we've pursued him. We didn't look to man for help. Or we didn't look to a religion for help. Or we didn't look to a church for help. But we look to him. And when we look to him, he brings all that we need. All that we need in our hearts and in our lives. He's the one that says, I want my people to pursue me, to look to me, to run after me, because I need them. He wants us. He's made us. He desires us and desires that fellowship with us. Pursuing him at all cost. Pursuing him because we know that he will answer and do what needs to be done in our hearts and in our lives. He's the one that can take the bondages of sin and untie it from our lives and our hearts and help us to stand on a firm foundation in him and come out better than we've ever been before. That's the kind of God you serve. That's the kind of God that loves you and will take care of you. Come after him, if any man. Now we look at the scripture and we think, well, these are his disciples. He's saying, if any man. They still had a choice. You know, every day when we get up, we really have a choice. We have a choice if we'll serve him. We have a choice. We have a choice if we will say, Lord, your will be done. Or do our own thing. Or do our own thing. We have a choice. And it says this. If any man will come after me, first thing, let him deny himself. My God. Now, let me say what it's not saying. First. Deny yourself. It doesn't mean denying the absence from various worldly pleasures, often with the aim of pursuing religious or spiritual goals. Deny yourself. You know, it's not saying that we're to forego earthly possessions, denying yourself those things. It's not saying that we're to not deny ourselves certain foods. Now, maybe we should, you know, I don't know. Thank God he didn't put crawfish or shrimp. My God. You know, or crabs. Man, we'd have to have a day of sinning, you know. I mean, yeah, okay, we're going to eat, though. But think, you know, he's not saying deny yourself those things. You know. He's not saying to ignore the world. But he is saying that one denies one's own will.
That's right.
One's own willpower, one's own self-will, one's own strength, one's own ability, and depending totally on Christ, the Messiah. Ooh, that's it. That's it. Deny yourself. Deny your own self-will. Look, let me tell you this. Let's all raise our hands and our feet, because everyone, we are so selfish. We are. Don't take our electricity away. My God, you want to see some mad women? They can't fix their hair in the morning? What? No. You know. We are. But that, you know what? God knew that. God knows that. That's why we need the Spirit of God. That's why we need the Holy Ghost to take out that selfishness. Because you see, selfishness means take care of self. That's all. Whatever benefits me, whatever's the best interest for me. Now, that doesn't mean you don't take care of yourself. No. But to have God's will, to be God-centered, God's will, denying of self, not earthly things or whatever, whatever. But deny yourself. The first thing he says, just deny yourself. Now, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. If you come after me, deny yourself. Saying you can't do it. He was really telling them, look, when I die, when I'm on that cross and I'm dead, and I go to my Father and I go with the blood and he accepts it as the perfect sacrifice and we live, life here, that now your job is to preach the gospel. But you know what, disciples? You still can't do it. You need me. You can't be self-centered. You can't be self-willed. You have to be God-centered, God-willed, letting God do what he wants to do. Let me tell you something. Some things aren't easy. Some things I don't want to do. Some things we don't want to do. But God says we're to do it. Because we're supposed to be God-centered. Letting God work in us. Letting God do some things in our hearts and in our lives. And we just have to be open to him. And I know it's hard. Because I know, point to me, we want to be in control. Oh, we want to be in control. But we don't realize this. When we let God be in control, we are more in control. When we let God do what he wants to do, we are more in control. Because we have surrendered every part of it to him. And letting him move at will within our hearts and within our lives. I wonder how many of us have been in a place where we almost gave up, huh? Look, I know. Been there, everybody raise your hand, because I know. We almost all gave up. But God was right around the corner saying, look, I'm coming for my son. I'm coming for my daughter. I'm coming for them. I'm coming to help them, to be with them. Just as Peter was walking, and as God was in that boat. As Peter was fishing in the boat and Jesus started walking upon the water. And it says they didn't know who he was at first. Then they finally kind of recognized it. And Peter said, if that's you, bid me to come. And God says, come. My God. God wants us to get on some water every once in a while. You know what that means? We don't have faith in ourselves anymore, but we have faith in what he's done. We have faith in what he can accomplish and what can happen as we look to him. Can you imagine as Peter took that first step and he didn't go underneath, and he took the next step and he didn't go underneath. It doesn't say how far he went till he took his eyes off. That's a lesson there. Keep our eyes upon him and him alone, and he will never let you and I down.
That's right.
That's it. That's it. If we keep our eyes upon him, he will never let us down. Denying of self. But God-centered will upon our hearts and in our lives. Let me read it again. That one denies one's own will, power, self-will, strength, and ability, and depending totally on Christ. The Anointed One, the Messiah. When Jesus was praying in the garden, not my will, but thine will be done. Not our will, but his will be done. Jesus' greatest sermon right before he left, he told disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Because you see, once somebody dies, that's it. There's no second chance. Nothing will bring people to Him except the preaching of the gospel, anointed by God. Look, don't ever let the devil close your mouth in preaching the gospel. Don't let him. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, I don't have a pulpit. That's not it. Wherever you're at, just tell people about Jesus. When that door opens up, don't be afraid to just speak it forth. Tell them how God has touched your heart and life, how He's relieved you of the pressures of the world, how He's relieved you and how He's done great and mighty things in your life. Because once somebody goes, it's either heaven or hell. And we know the only door that opens up to heaven is Jesus.
Amen.
That's it. And so we need to do all that we can to preach the gospel and to tell people about the Lord. But we need to deny ourselves. It says, the second part, take up your cross or His cross. Take up His cross. Take up His cross. And it says to take it up daily. Talking about, and you can read it in Colossians. I think it's chapter 2. Talks about 14 and 15 where it talks about putting our faith, not in the law, but putting our faith in the gospel of Jesus. Putting our faith in Him and what He has done. Putting our faith in the cross of Calvary. You know, Paul said this, I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. My God. The full circle of where it needs to be. We need to take up His cross. Take up His cross. Take up His cross. And what the devil will try to do, he'll try to move our faith from the cross into anything else. Anything else. Doesn't matter what it is. You know, when we got saved, we trusted in the Father. And we said, Father, I have faith in You. And it says that the Father came and took all our sins away and washed us clean. And then now, we still can't go away from that. We got to still put our faith in Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. In Jesus, always. Not in anything else. Because He is the only one that can bring us to a place where we need to be. He's the only one that can take the shackles and break them. He's the only one that can break that one thing in your heart and life that has held you in bondage. And that's all of us. There's always something. He's the one thing that can change it as we keep our faith in Him. And the last thing was to follow Him. We're to follow Him, the Father, as Jesus followed the Father. Following Him. Come after Him. If any man comes after Me, let him deny himself. Take up that cross, putting our faith in Him. And follow Him. Follow Him. No matter what He may tell you, no matter what He does, to follow Him. I know it's hard, guys. I know it. I know it's hard. Today, it's not a popular thing to be a Pentecostal Christian. Today, it's not a popular thing to be a born-again, Spirit-filled, on fire for God today. They think we're crazy. Now, I guess they're partly right. We've lost our minds to God.
Amen.
But they will not and cannot stop the power machine of our God. And we will win this world for the kingdom of God. At least we will preach the gospel. We will preach the gospel. It says this, upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. We need to preach the gospel because He's our foundation, the rock. And upon this rock, upon the rock that God that Jesus is the solid rock on the inside of our hearts. As we stand upon Him, it says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It doesn't mean that the devil will try to build up walls and bring destruction upon us. That doesn't mean it. But it says that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That means the gates of hell will not win over you. That the gates of hell will not stop you. Because you know what? As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of God is upon your life. You've given your heart to Him. And when Satan tries to build walls around about you, you know what? The power of God in you helps you to kick that wall in and you get to the other side. Kick in those walls that have tried to bring bondage upon your hearts and upon your lives by the power of God. Not that we can do it, but God says the gates of hell shall not prevail against you or I. But God will give us victory in every aspect of our hearts and every aspect of our lives. In Proverbs chapter 10, Andrew, put that scripture up. Proverbs chapter 10, this is the last scripture, verse 3, it says, "The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but He casteth away the substance of the wicked." That means He puts away the wickedness. My God. I'm really kind of looking at the latter part of that verse. Serving as a shield regarding satanic attacks upon our lives. But He casteth away the substance of the wicked. The devil hates you. The devil doesn't like you. Thank God. He's going to try to bring all wickedness that he can. He will try to bring destruction. He will try to bring whatever in any way he can. But the scripture says that he casteth away the substance of the wicked. That God is the shield that casts us away. As all we got to do is put our faith in Him. Just keep looking to Him, guys. When things get hard, say, "Father, I look to You. Father, I look to You." Just think of Peter before he went down. But think of Peter. And he sunk in the water. Think of Peter. When things get hard, say, "Father, I'm like Peter. I put my faith in You, Lord. And even when it seems like I'm falling down and sinking, You're going to be there with Your hand to pick me up." That's the kind of God we serve. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him to the end. God has so much in store for you. Just keep your faith in Him and what He has done for you. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, thank You, Father. Lord, I worship and I honor You this day. Oh, Jesus. Andrew, put that song on at the cross. Put that song back on. Oh, Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give you a chance to know Him. I'd say, "Pastor, I've never given my heart to Him." Let us pray with you. If you, maybe you've given your heart to Him and, you know, you're struggling. You're saying, "Well, you know, I need a rededication." Raise your hand. We'll pray with you. You know. Amen. I see your hand back there. I see it. Anyone else? Oh, Jesus. I know somebody raised their hand, so put it down a little bit. Amen. Let's all pray together. Say, "Heavenly Father,
I ask you
to forgive me of all of my sins. And I look to You as the Lord and Savior of my life. I accept what You did on the cross for me. I believe You died on the cross and You rose again. And I accept You as the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name." Okay, you can put this song up. I want to pray for something else also. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, as far as speaking in tongues, and you'd like to be filled, why don't you come on up so we can pray with you? You know, I'm not sure. I just want, you know, I always try to open that up. You have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'd like for God to do that. I'd like to pray with you. Amen. 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 Why don't you turn this way? Stretch forth your hands towards Him. Amen. And I want you to raise your hand. And I want you to pray this.